It is not E3 week, so it's time for what's left of the gaming industry to get together and promote their games. Both the Summer Games Fest and Xbox Game Showcase happened in the last few days. Tonight is June 9th, 2024, and the Bobby Blackwell Show, featuring your calls and chat comments, is up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is everyone, Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O'Kay says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
That's right. Not E3 week, naughty three. E3 is not coming back. It's gone. And now we have Key 3 with Jeff Keighley. We got something going on. Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us live here on this June 9th, on the weekend of Jeff Fest, as this show and Matt says, G3... as Pod Culture says, welcome. We do try to tape the show each and every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, over at the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join us, interact with the show directly. But this is a podcast, so if you're listening throughout the week, then you can join us on our Discord server, vognetwork.com/discord. That is where you can find reactions to things throughout the week, maybe some more nuanced discussion than we get into here on this show. Yes, today is June 9th, which is Bill and Ted Day. Nice. Very, very, very happy about that. And and that joke only makes sense to people who are write their dates in the way that the Americans do, because you're like, what's so special about September 6th? I understand. So before we get to before we get to what's going on this week, let's talk about what's going to happen in a couple of weeks. I am not going to be here the weekend of, I think it's June 30th, I want to say, because I have actually not announced this here on the podcast, because there were still some moving pieces going on. But I will once again, for the ninth time, be a host at Summer Games Done Quick 2024. So I will be traveling up to Minneapolis. I am very thrilled and honored at the opportunity. And I know one thing that you're going to say is that, well, I mean, obviously it's a foregone conclusion. I mean, I've been doing it now. I've been at every event since summer of 2020. I will tell you that as a host at SGDQ, nothing is guaranteed. There are several people who auditioned, because we have to re-audition every time. There are several people who auditioned who have been doing it way longer than I have, and they're not there. They did not make it. Anything can happen in any audition. That could, mean that someone who might have even been like one of the gold standards of people who audition and kind of held up as an example of what a great audition sounds like, they don't even make the cut the next time. So it is unfortunately not doing it before isn't a guarantee that you'll be able to continue doing it. So I am very thankful that I still made the cut. There's a lot of great... people that are entering the space, newer people that have other things that they do that help them prepare them for the audition for GDQ, and they're able to get some new voices, some more diverse voices into GDQ on the host desk, reading out your donations. So if you want to know when you can hear me, I'm going to be on early in the week. So my week actually ends on Tuesday. I could theoretically come home on Wednesday if I wanted to, but I'm not going to. But so Sunday, I don't have a graphic for this yet. I'm going to make a graphic later, because 6 months ago, if you heard me talk about this, I read off everything, and then none of those games that I mentioned and none of those dates were correct. Like, everything changed. So, I'm going to, before I get into my photo image editor. I'm going to wait to make sure, and then I'll make like a nice little graphic that we can put on our Discord or on social media. But Sunday, the first day, I'm actually in the afternoon. So I am in the second block of hosts. We have our opener, and then I'm going to be I'm going to be there next. And so I will be hosting three games starting at about 3:50 p.m. Eastern time. So I will be hosting Mega Man 9, any percent, going to be running on the Wii, being run by Slurpee Ninja. And then I will have Ratchet and Clank after that, all Gold Bolts, the PS3 version from Marathon Man is going to be running that. And then Splatoon 3 Side Order. We're going to be doing the new game plus Marie's Palette is going to be run by Tones Balones. So that's going to be my first shift. It's going to go up until the checkpoint on Sunday. So, let's see here. It looks like a 30-minute episode. So probably somewhere between, 4 p.m. Eastern until about 6:30, 6:45, 7 o'clock Eastern. That's what we're going to be doing. That's the first set. So that's going to be Sunday. It's going to be right after Yoshi's Story, which is opening up the everything, and then Minecraft Dungeons, which is on right after that. The interesting thing is about GDQ, or about the Yoshi Story run. Yoshi Story is being run by Dan Salvato. Now, people who are involved with GDQ know that Dan Salvato really loves making $10,000 donations. It's because Dan Salvato, in the video game world, is the creator of Doki Doki Literature Club. So that's who's opening up GDQ. So it's going to be really neat to finally meet Dan Salvato as he is opening up the marathon. And then I will be coming on a couple hours later. But you'll always hear him donating like $1,000, $10,000. He drops a lot. He, back when bits and subscriptions to the Twitch channel actually went to the charity, which they do not anymore. They haven't for about a year and a half because Twitch changed a lot of their contract rules and splits, and that included GDQ. They don't do that anymore because of contractual and tax reasons, actually. Dan Salvato would like have dropped like thousands of gift subs to the GDQ Twitch channel back then. Esther and Matt says, wonder what the incentives you'll be pushing for on each shift. I actually do know what some of them are. I'm not going to reveal them yet, but I think it's like in Mega Man 9, I think it's like some color things. Let me see if I can pull it up real quick. I'm not going to divulge everything, but I'm going to make sure that I don't say anything too wrong, so I can't actually like share this info, but I can at least look and make sure that I don't say anything really dumb. So there are some incentives for Mega Man 9 right now. No incentives for the other stuff, but there's some interesting things in here. It's not color choice. I was wrong on that. There's some fun stuff with Mega Man 9. Stump 230, who's a fellow host in the speedrunning world. Good to see you, Stump. Said Marathon Man did a different category of Ratchet and Clank at the event they just came home from. So thank you. So that's something I'll get to go look up. I think that was Pace. Is that what the one that just happened? There's a lot of speedrun marathons that happen in the summer. So it's kind of hard to keep up with all of them. So, but at least I got it right. Stump said, yes, it was Pace. Was the speedrunning event that was this weekend. So that's Sunday. Now, Tuesday night, starting right after the checkpoint, so pretty much like at 7 p.m. Eastern is when this is going to happen, because the whole point of the checkpoint that they put in GDQ is to kind of readjust the schedule and, say, okay, this can be as long or short as we need it so we can get everything back on schedule. So at 7 o'clock... we're going to have a Yakuza game. I mean, excuse me, a Like a Dragon game. I'm sorry. So at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern on Tuesday, July 2nd, Like a Dragon Gaiden, the man who erased his name, any percent, and Froob is not in town for this. Tapioca is going to be running it. Tap has been on the couch for Froob for several of the runs. So, I've worked with Tap before. I have informed them that I will not be singing this time, and they said we'll see about that. So if you're wondering about incentives. but then after that, I am apparently the favorite host on the Citadel because I get to host Sanchan's Mass Effect 2 Any% New Game Plus run after that. So I am the favorite best host in the Citadel. And guess what? I was watching a little bit and there's a skip to get to me. There is actually, like, it is literally called the Bobby skip. And it's like in the first 6 minutes of the run. And so it makes me feel good. People will actually go. This is like a good Valentine's Day card, right? You know, I would go out of bounds to skip right to you. It'd be like one of those like GDQ Valentine's cards. It'd be great. You may hear that joke again on Tuesday night. I don't know. I'm going to workshop some things like that here on the show. That's when I am working. And then I will just be around at the venue. Obviously, the run everybody is going to care about is actually on Thursday night. So if you really, really want to see, which is, it's July 4th. It is when we celebrate the birth of our nation by blowing a piece of it up. And so please be careful with all your digits. But at around 8:30 p.m. Eastern, that is when we will be playing America's Pastime. Ken Griffey Jr. presents Major League Baseball. Winning a game in the Super Nintendo. But why is this special? You ask. Well, I will tell you why it's special. It's because it is being run by a dog. That's right. They're bringing back the Shiba Inu peanut butter who played Gyromite at AGDQ with a special controller. And on Thursday night, PB, which is peanut butter, but it also can stand for personal best, is going to be winning a game of Ken Griffey Jr. Presents Major League Baseball on Super Nintendo live in person. So for Gyromite, PB was at home. It was a remote run. But now PB is actually coming to Minneapolis and is going to be running the game, running this game live on stage with a full audience. And I really, really hope that Peanut Butter is ready for this. I really hope that... Look at the dog. Dog's great. So apparently JSR, the human that Peanut Butter owns, JSR, has been working on getting PB accustomed to large crowds, accustomed to performing in large crowds. I don't know how he's been doing that, but he has said that he's been working on that, and that he believes that PB will be able to do it fine on stage. With this very special controller to win a game, a baseball game, on July 4th. So that's the real fireworks. That's really what you're going to be wanting to see is that it's Thursday night. Yes, every host wanted to host that one, but there is actually one host that JSR and Peanut Butter have worked with before, and so that person gets it, and I am very glad. Because, frankly, I don't want to host everything. And there are actually even games on the schedule that I say, yeah, don't put me on something like that, like Pokemon. I actually don't want to host any Pokemon games because I don't know the lore. So, so that's Summer Games Done Quick 2024. It is happening starting on June 30th, Sunday, June 30th. So there will be no show on Sunday, June 30th. It goes until the evening of Saturday, July 6th. So I will be back July 7th. I'm flying back early that afternoon. So I should be home in time to do the show here on July 7th. So going from Summer Games Done Quick to Summer Games Fest, let's talk about this for a little bit. So this is not E3 week. This is the week that E3 usually would have been. And Jeff Keighley has used this time to kind of do his own reimagining of it. And what he has done is he has basically taken the parts of E3 that the gaming public cared about and basically just did that and not any of the other things about E3. And what a lot of the gaming public doesn't realize is that the real good part of E3 was the fact that the industry all got together and we all got to be together. We got to celebrate together. And I'm including like the media in that because I was in the media for a long time. I went to every E3 from 1997 in Atlanta until 2014. 2014 was my last E3. And I went to every single one of them except for 2012. And the reason I didn't go in 2012 is because VOG had just launched and you needed to exist for 6 months before you could get in. So we were not eligible to be press at that at E3 2012. And that's the only reason we didn't go. But we were able to go in 2013 and 2014. And it was really about the networking. It was really about the meeting people. It was never about the games. It was never about the announcements. That's just what the gaming public saw. So Summer Games Fest is basically the public show. And they have an in-person component, as far as I know, where, you know, people like influencers that they invite and media that they invite can actually talk to the developers and developers can get together. But it is not the networking that E3 was. So it's not exactly E3 and it's not what E3 is. And there's a lot of people that wouldn't go to an E3 even in the industry. So how much does it cost to actually participate in Summer Games Fest? Kotaku reports that, as first reported by Esquire on June 6th, the cost of getting your game's trailer into Summer Games Fest main show this year started at $250,000 for 1 minute, $350,000 for 1.5 minutes, $450,000 for 2 minutes, and $550,000 for 2.5 minutes. Kotaku was able to verify these and other numbers via a non-public document obtained via a source connected to the event. So one insider told Esquire, these shows are really expensive. E3 VL says, at least it's not Super Bowl numbers, like $7 million for 30 seconds. There's nothing. Nothing in gaming is worth $7 million for 30 seconds. In the document obtained by Kotaku, the money spent on a trailer airing during SGF's kickoff event also includes a set number of social media posts from the official account. 1 minute trailers get a single post, 1.5 minute teasers get two posts, and 2 minutes get you three. Not every trailer comes at a cost, and this is where Kotaku made some assumptions that were incorrect. Those considered earned editorial placements are played for free. And this is Kotaku talking, and what I'm about to say, Kotaku got completely incorrect. And Jeff Keighley corrects them in the next paragraph. But there's something here about assuming noble intent that I like to try to do, where I try to assume noble intent for a lot of these things, which is very hard when you're dealing with corporations that you assume have no noble intent. But I believe that Jeff Keighley has noble intent. But Kotaku did not assume noble intent. They said, earned editorial placements are played for free and are likely reserved for big reveals from massive companies like Sony, Nintendo, and Microsoft. Part of what other smaller developers were paying for is likely the chance to be showcased along these bigger games and the eyeballs they draw. Turns out it's actually the opposite, because Sony, Nintendo, and Microsoft don't need a discount to show off their games at Summer Games Fest. And E3VL asks, I wonder how indie games can afford the trailers. All right. Jeff Keighley actually responded and was like, okay, your assumption, what happens when you make an assumption is you make an ass out of you an umption. And Jeff Keighley said that the free slots are actually provided to smaller non-AAA games and studios. Keighley is sometimes pitched games to include, and he provides some free airtime for these projects as part of the earned editorial placements previously mentioned. So what Jeff Keighley's actually doing is those free spots are actually going to the studios who can't afford a big trailer, whereas a lot of the gaming press and a lot of the gaming public just assumed the free stuff went to Sony and Microsoft and Nintendo, the companies that can absolutely afford a $250,000 spot. But, you know, the smaller games, they are the smaller indie games, they could possibly get in. And you will even hear when we talk, when if you actually watch the Summer Games Fest, you can actually find when these are, because Jeff will actually tell you, I played this game and I thought it was great. Jeff Keighley said that for several of these indie games. He's like, I was shown this game and I was blown away, and so I'm here to present it to you. And that's, I think he was actually even saying that in response to this article, because he wanted to make it clear that, like, he had played these, and it's like kind of like the Jeff Keighley endorsement, the seal of approval from Jeff Keighley. E3VL says, so A and AA games get screwed. A and AA games generally will have some type of publisher that has some type of marketing budget. Now, will they be able to get in the main Summer Games Fest event? Maybe not necessarily, but HDI Andrew in our chat, who I know works with a bunch of game developers here in Georgia, says that our games are not in that. Yay for the Steam Next Fest. Which to tie it together, the Steam Next Fest is actually produced by the same people that do Games Done Quick. If you're wondering why you might see some similar talent on Games Done Quick and on Steam Next Fest, that's why. So, Steam Next Fest is going on next week, and it's going to have a whole bunch of demos that you can try for a limited time on Steam, and big streaming reveals and things like that. Now there are booths. There are booths at Summer Games Fest because they do invite some of the public in. There are public tickets that you can go to in Los Angeles. It said elsewhere in the document are the prices of the booths for Summer Games Fest. For a Biz Dev Partner Badge, which is a business development partner badge, granting access to the show on June 10th only, you have to be approved and pay $500. So this is kind of like this is before the general public get in, June 10th. A private meeting cabana, which includes seats for up to 6 people, table service, free parking, and 6 Summer Games Fest badges, will cost you $50,000 for all 3 days, or $20,000 per day. Finally, you can purchase a full hands-on pod, which includes 4 large HD TVs, seating, credenzas with locked storage, signage, 6 badges, and free parking, which is important when you're down in Los Angeles. However, SGF also lets publishers and developers spend more on custom venues or spaces, which can include features like bars, outdoor seating, tented parking, and sponsored lounges. A PR agent who represents indie games told Esquire, quote, the current pricing tiers make Summer Games Fest an unattainable goal for most indie developers and publishers, unquote. However, others actually said that the high prices might be worth it. They say, quote, as far as general brand awareness, the impact is pretty huge. The caveat here is that it depends on the placement and trailer length. Longer slots perform better and seem to drive more coverage, whereas short trailers don't capture quite the same attention, unquote. And I will actually explain that, because, like, we are so conditioned as consumers that are watching Summer Games Fest and the Game Awards, which is the same thing, you just add some awards on it, that there are actual commercial breaks. They are disguised as more trailers, but they are commercial breaks, and they're 30 seconds. And so we don't really pay attention to the 30-second ones. That's the, okay, time to go refill my drink, time to go to the restroom. You know, it's a 30-second ad like you would find in a television show. And you can even kind of tell in the way that they present it is, like, you don't hear the crowd in between because they're just running ads. And then they come back, and they'll actually reference maybe the last commercial that they showed, but it's technically an ad break and not actually part of the show. S. Jared Matt says, so Vogue Cabana win, I assume down the street at the Margaritaville. No, we're not cool enough to go. They do allow influencers to go to Summer Games Fest, but you have to be very influential. And while we are very influential to a very small market, we are not influential enough to get a $500 badge to get into Summer Games Fest. It's also why we did not attend E3 in 2015. Or 2016, or 2017. Same thing. Esquire does report that the prices are similar to what was charged at last year's Game Awards, and so publishers and devs pay the price to play, hoping that millions watching the events will pre-order, wishlist, or just talk about their new video game. And there was an interesting thread over on Blue Sky that I did not engage in or participate in any way, but it came across, and it was people saying Summer Games Fest is stupid. Like, why should I care about anything shown at Summer Games Fest. It's just a whole bunch of trailers. And then they said, if a game is good enough, the hype will reach me and I'll just go find out its trailer. And they were missing the link between the hype and Summer Games Fest. They're like, well, if a trailer is good, if a game is good, the hype will bring it to my personal attention. So why do we have Summer Games Fest at all? Because I don't watch Summer Games Fest. But if a game is good enough, I will hear about it and I will seek out the trailer on my own. And the thing is, how do they get that hype? Things like Summer Games Fest, things like Steam Next Fest, things like the Xbox Game Showcase, the Sony State of Play, or a Nintendo Direct. That's how you get the hype in the first place, because you have all the eyeballs on one event for an hour and a half, and it's just like, bang, 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 here's the games. And then the hype generates from there. If you put out a trailer on YouTube and don't tell anybody about it, you're not going to get that hype. I'm not surprised at the prices for these things, because you know what? Summer Games Fest is not being run by a massive corporation. This stuff costs money. Doing a even if it's streaming, doing a television production costs a lot of money, and a lot more than you think. And especially if you're renting out a big theater and having all the lighting and all the different screens and all the editors that have to make everything work in the venue. We're watching one screen, but I don't know if you noticed, there were like three or four screens at the venue, and they actually do things with all those screens. And if they've got the same people that did the Sony press conferences back in the day, then they're also like, there's a light show, there's other things like different areas of the stage light up, so that all costs money. And because they're trying to impress the people that are there, because the people that are there are the actual influencers. But it costs money to do a television production. Games Done Quick is also a television production. I know I'm going back to GDQ. And even though it's a smaller budget of a television production, it's done in a hotel ballroom. But it is a huge stage with now multiple stages, multiple cameras, lights, huge sound mixer, huge, like, it's a full-on television production going on in that hotel ballroom. And while I don't know how much it costs to put it on, we do know that the charities, and reason we know this is because the charities are 501c3 nonprofits. Games Done Quick is a for-profit production company. But the charities are 501c3 nonprofits. So we know, because they have to tell the government exactly how much they pay Games Done Quick to put on these events. And putting on GDQ, the charities pay about $300,000 for doing a very bare bones kind of television production using some off the shelf equipment, some not off the shelf equipment. But that includes renting the hotel for 8 days, and doing all that. And that's a low budget. GDQ is technically a very low budget, low budget thing going on. That's why there was another marathon that a big streamer did, a speed running marathon with a bunch of celebrity streamers. And it was like just for one weekend. And it cost them, they were only there for like 2 or 3 days, but it had great production values. But it was also several $100,000 to put that on. I'm not surprised at how much it costs to get into the main Summer Games Fest thing. One of the other things that happened, because there are a lot of whatever's left of the gaming industry is out there at Southern Game Summer Games Fest. And one of the first things that Jeff actually mentioned is that he finally addressed on stage what's been going on in the industry lately. He actually finally addressed the layoffs. And he finally basically said, you know, it's been a tough time for developers. But he spun what's happening in such a way that I'm not as much of a fan of. And what Jeff said was, he said, you know, yes, there's been a lot of layoffs, but we're doing great. here at Summer Games Fest, and we're going to, you know, there's all these games that were created by small indie teams, and we're promoting them here. And he showed up a graphic of like the top 10 played games on Steam, and only two of them are AAA titles. The rest are indie games done by brand new studios, sometimes even a single developer. Things like Balatro were up there and things like that. And he's like, this is what you can do. And so this is why the industry will survive, is because, you know, yes, the layoffs at the big companies are horrible, but now you can make your own indie studio and make your own game and blah, 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 blah. And the reason I'm not a fan of that is because people who are later on in their lives, and I don't mean old, but like, I'm like, maybe you have a family, maybe you have kids, you know, you've got other things going on. Working at a startup company, just in general, is not the most sustainable when you have a family. You need something stable. You need to know that you're still going to have a job next week. I don't like that line of reasoning, because not everybody can go run off and create a startup. If you were only working in the game industry for a couple of years and you don't have that much capital lined up because you wound up, you know, finding someone you loved and then you maybe had a kid, your money's going to your kid, not going to a startup to make a game. And a lot of startups, in order, even if you didn't found the startup, they don't exactly have the money to pay you what you're worth if you're not one of the founders of the startup. And that's just the way it is in all tech. And so that's not a viable alternative for every worker. Yes, it's great that we're getting all of these indie games and that Jeff is doing what he can to promote the games from the people who got laid off from their major studios and took a risk and made their own stuff. But not everybody can do that. And kind of saying that's the solution, I don't like that. And you know, even HDI Andrew says often the founders don't get paid what they're worth. Like, nobody in the game industry gets paid what they're worth, I don't think, because everybody wants to be in it. So there is a very much a huge supply of people who want to be in the gaming industry for not as much demand. And so they can charge less. It's why I don't work in the game industry. It's because I couldn't get into the game industry when I just got out of college, when I was worth the low amount of money that the game industry was paying at the time. That was my value at the time because I had no experience. But now that I've got 25 years of experience in software development, game industry can't afford me anymore. And I'm fine with that. I'd rather just be doing this as a hobby. But because there were all those layoffs, there was a nice tribute outside in Los Angeles. Kotaku reports that hundreds of the biggest names in the gaming industry are gathering in Los Angeles for Summer Games Fest. Most of the week will be made up of ads and spotlights for upcoming games. And historically, Jeff Keighley's showcases and events have unfortunately not been a place to talk about the problems happening within the industry, such as studio shutdowns and layoffs. But New Blood Interactive, the publisher behind games like Super Galaxy Squadron, Dusk, and Ultra Kill, have decided to take matters into its own hands and give some of the affected studios a memorial in the city, while everyone in video games is paying attention with a giant electronic billboard in downtown L.A. The billboard includes the names of several studios that have been shut down in the last year, with the headline, Gone But Not Forgotten. The list includes Arcane Austin, Roll7, Tango Gameworks, Volition, and London Studio, as well as the general tribute to everyone laid off, downsized, and made redundant. New Blood signs off the display with, We love you, we miss you, we hate money. Folks from around the industry are receiving warmly to the solidarity, including developers who worked at the studios mentioned. Some criticism was directed at New Blood for putting its name on the billboard, as that could be read as an advertisement for its own games. But I actually don't. Kotaku actually says, and I agree with him, that anonymous support is not what anyone needs right now. The video game industry is at a crisis point, and visibly speaking out against corporate greed is a big part of how any of this gets better in the future. New Blood CEO and co-founder Dave Oshry, who used to be in gaming media, so it's another gaming media going into game development and the gaming industry side, tweeted that he is, quote, always trying to find new and creative ways to waste money, unquote, and he hopes that those affected by the swaths of layoffs in the past 2 years land on their feet in the aftermath. I'm glad somebody was able to do this, and it was kind of nice to see this, you know, because a lot of the games that we enjoyed, the people that made those games are no longer in the gaming industry. Because when you need something stable, you go into more general software development. I know this because I work with a bunch of people. I have worked many times in the past, and they're like, oh, yeah, I used to work in the gaming industry. And there's a saying apparently in the game industry that either you are in the game industry for either less than 5 years or for life. Nothing in between. And I worked with a lot of people who were in the game industry for less than 5 years. I've worked with someone who was QA at EA, which, yes, they had a QA department at Electronic Arts, I promise you. And he worked there. I actually, one of the people I worked with used to work at Epix way back when. Yes, EPYX, the Commodore 64, Winter Games, Summer Games, California Games, Jumpman, Pit Stop, worked there. And HGI Andrew says, lifers can't even tunnel their way out. It's difficult to swap industries when you've been in one for a long time. And that goes for anything in tech. I honestly don't think I'm going to ever be able to tunnel out of what I do in my day job. I am in a very specific vertical, which is kind of like a very specific portion of software development. And I don't think I'm ever going to get a job at this point in my life in any other software technology than the one I'm in. And I'm not in games, but it's kind of the same thing. It's like, it's a very specialized type of development, and not many people can do it. That's the good thing. There's actually higher demand than supply. But I don't think I'd ever be able to get out of this, because there's always other technologies, and there's always people that know that technology more than I do. And so why is somebody going to want to hire an old person when a younger person is cheaper and probably knows the technology better because it's newer? Questbuster says, I appreciate what the Among Us devs did in announcing their indie fund. It was a nice gesture, and I hope it works out for those that need it. So what he's talking about there is that the Among Us developers decided that they made so much money with Among Us, they started funding other people's indie games. And they were actually doing it really quietly at first, because like they were like, yeah, you've probably already played this game. So like one game's already out that's from their fund. But they decided that, hey, we made way too much money on Among Us, so let's spread that love around and let's get other people in here to kind of share in the success and use our platform as people who love Among Us and hope that we make Among Us 2 or 3 or 4 or whatever. You know, give some people some other things to play while we work on our next thing. So that was also at Summer Games Fest. What happened at Summer Games Fest? So now let's talk about the actual event and kind of run down some of the things. I don't want to do a full breakdown because I've already talked for 40 minutes, so we don't want to do that. You know, if you want to throw out in chat the actual games. So now we've talked about the sad stuff. Let's talk about what we're looking forward to from what we've heard about and what games are actually excite you. So one of the things I did see, Lego Horizon Adventures actually opened the show, and it's coming out on Nintendo Switch. That's the fun part. Not on Xbox, but it is coming out on Switch, PS5, and PC. But it's the Lego games, you know, kind of like your Lego Star Wars or Lego Harry Potter or anything like that. But it's a Horizon Zero Dawn. It's retelling Horizon with Aloy in Lego. So that was one of the first ones. That was the first one they showed, and that was the first one I was like, oh, okay, cool. And then Civilization 7 was announced. I bought Civilization 6, and I played like one or two games, and then I'm like, okay, I'll play it again when I have 10 hours to kill. And I never did. So I wish I could say I was excited for Civilization 7, but I don't have 10 hours to kill anymore. Because one more turn is real, and I don't need that in my life. E3VL and Questbuster says Monster Hunter Wilds is what really excited them. So that was announced a little bit later on. I know they announced some Street Fighter VI characters, like Terry from Fatal Fury, Terry Bogard, and M. Bison's back, which apparently is not canon, but Street Fighter doesn't care about your canon. They care about cool characters. I'm scrolling through something to see if there was a lot. There was, you know, I kind of fast forwarded through some of it. You got to see more from Slitherhead, which was the former Silent Hill team doing stuff. they showed like the Among Us TV show that's coming out. There was a Dune Awakening. So it's the Dune universe, but it's like it's an alternate history. An alternate history of a sci-fi show. It's like What If, I guess. Of you know, what if Paul Atreides was not Paul Atreides? We'll find out. And there's an Alan Wake 2 physical edition coming out. So for those that like that, Hyper Light Breaker is the same people that did Hyper Light Drifter, but now it's a gun game. Skate had a very interesting campaign because there was like this corporation called M Corp, and you're like, okay, is this like a, you know, Resident Evil type thing, or, you know, because there's things going on. It's a live action thing about this corporation. And then it's like, oh, it's Skate. And everybody's like, what is M Corp? Oh my gosh. And then it's like, that's just the fictional corporation in the new skateboarding game from EA. Yeah. Monster Hunter Wilds, had a gripping showdown against some vicious sand creatures and some beautiful desert vistas. And then, and yeah. So, Michigan says, I'm excited for New World. And Dark Tessia says, yeah, I don't know how canon works in Street Fighter. It doesn't. It just, no. Because everybody, because in canon, M. Bison died, apparently. But, you know, I thought it was also canon that M. Bison just liked to upload his consciousness into new bodies constantly. But anyway. But seeing the SNK crossovers was neat. So, yeah. So that there was a lot of stuff in, and they even actually showed a huge PAL World teaser trailer. So there was a new PAL World thing. So obviously they haven't been sued out of existence yet. Nothing from Nintendo. So they didn't even get one of those free slots that Kotaku said they would get. It was basically a lot of third party stuff. Today was the Xbox game showcase, which was kind of interesting because I know they still shuffle people into a theater for it. But I think everybody in that theater was just watching a movie. Like, I don't, because there was no crowd work. It wasn't live in the theater. They had, you know, Phil Spencer and Matt Booty and Sarah Bond all, like, on a set. And it was obviously pre-recorded. And they basically just played the theater, the movie for everybody. Which, I mean, I guess, like, you know, that's kind of an experience. But, like, we didn't get to hear the crowd cheers, which is good. I'm fine with that. S. Jernoman says, I did not see the Xbox showcase at all. That was busy with work. I want to say that the Xbox showcase actually had a lot of good stuff in it. It was one of the better showcases I had seen. It opened with Call of Duty Black Ops 6, which was kind of interesting, some of the subtle shots that were made. It was the first time in 10 years that Call of Duty had been on an Xbox showcase. And it's also going to be the first time that all Call of Duty players are going to get to play everything on no matter what platform they're on. And that's kind of a subtle dig, or not so subtle dig, really, at the fact that Call of Duty and PlayStation had an exclusive marketing agreement. So Call of Duty games only showed up on the Sony press conferences and Sony events. And if you played on PlayStation, you would get a certain map early. Like they would release new content on PlayStation 6 months before they would release it anywhere else. He kind of opened with both of those, kind of saying, hey, now every Call of Duty player can have everything on release day that we give out. Like none of this parceling out. And we're showing it here on our Xbox showcase, which we haven't been able to do for 10 years. Then they showed Doom the Dark Ages, which is not Hexen, but it's Doom with, you know, modern day or futuristic weapons, not modern day, futuristic weapons in, you know, but there's a castle and a dragon. But the shield has, you know, can turn into a buzzsaw and you can throw it. It's kind of cool. It's got some cool stuff going on. There is going to be a new Fallout 76 expansion coming out where you can play as a ghoul. A new World of Warcraft expansion, The War Within, is going to be coming out. Metal Gear Solid Delta Snake Eater is coming out. And yes, David Hayter is once again the voice of Snake, so he's back. Questbuster says, I heard comments on what we're looking at with the new Black Ops as the result of Treyarch actually getting 4 years to actually develop their game. We'll see. They're going to be doing a new Age of Mythology retold, a remake of sorts of the original 2002 game. So that's kind of, it's an RTS. We did get a look at Perfect Dark, the new Perfect Dark. So if you want to see more of Joanna Dark, we got that. Diablo 4 is getting an expansion, and it's going to be coming out soon. Vessel of Hatred. They had a cinematic trailer because it's clicky, the game, so they didn't actually show any gameplay of it. Fable does not look like Forza Horizon, despite being made by Playground Games. I am so disappointed. I'm kidding. I'm not disappointed. But they finally showed a trailer of Fable, and it looks like it's got some of the same humor that we remember from Fable. There is a new Microsoft Flight Simulator coming out, Microsoft Flight Simulator 2024. And this one, you can actually have a career. You can have a career as a commercial pilot or a rescue pilot or, you know, doing deliveries and things like that. So it actually gives kind of a story, or maybe not really a story, but just like kind of gives you something to work toward instead of just, I want to fly from here and here. And so while that's great for a lot of the simulator type people, and that's probably most likely will still be there just as it is now. Now it's going to give people like an actual like something they can do. And gives them reasons to go from A to B. And then they showed off more Indiana Jones and the Great Circle, which was kind of interesting because they had a basically it was like a cinematic trailer, but it was a big action scene. I'm like, man, wouldn't it be great to play this scene instead of just watch it? And then they showed more of they actually did show the gameplay after that. And then let's see here. I'm kind of like going through. There were a couple other indie games but other games that were looked interesting. You know, there was a lot of brand new IP in this. You know, so there's some things in there that you may want to look at. There is a new hardware refresh. So there's going to be an all digital white Xbox Series X, a one terabyte Series S in robot white, and a special edition Xbox Series X in galaxy black with 2 terabytes of storage and a disk drive. So they are finally releasing the Xbox Series X without a disk drive. And people in chat were actually talking about it. They didn't understand the prices. I'm trying to see if I can find where that was. E3VL said, perplexed by the hardware announcement, Xbox Series X all digital is $450. Xbox Series X with disc is now $400 at most retailers, so you're essentially paying for a white color console with no disc drive. And it's basically no physical disc drive. It's got a I don't have like a full listing, but yeah, no, I get that. I think honestly what they're probably going to do is this new Galaxy. Because it's basically, it's black with little stars on it. So it's got glitter on it. It's a glitter-bombed Xbox Series X. That'll probably raise the price of that. And that way, the $450 for the digital one is actually cheaper than the one with the disc drive. And then a Gears of War prequel got announced. E-Day, which is, I guess, the day everything started in the Gears of War universe. So they actually showed that off. So a lot of people are very excited about that as well. Questbuster says, in Summer Games Fest, we saw Mike Ladlaws, who was originally with Dragon Age, the new RPG Eternal Strands. I am the problem where I'm talking about like things you would have heard of before. But there really were a lot of interesting concepts and a lot of interesting games and narratives that that would be available, especially in the Xbox Game Showcase. And they're all going to be on Game Pass. Just about all of them are going to be on Game Pass. So, you know, you may be able to try some of them out. I remember there was the one, and I'm scrolling through like a Kotaku article that has some of these. South of Midnight had like this big giant talking fish and then a big giant gator and stuff. And that one looked interesting. There was a music based, and I'm not going to say music. It's not a rhythm game, but I was looking at it. I'm like, oh, is this like, you know, knowing that Tango Gameworks is no longer around, but I'm like, I was getting Hi-Fi Rush prize out of it. And I think it was Mixtape was that one. There's like Frog Punk, Cartoony Violence. So they didn't just do like first-person shooters and updates to previous games and things like that. There was a lot of interesting things in there. So I think the Xbox Game Showcase is worth a skim. And when I say worth a skim, because this is all I did, is just like, you watch it on YouTube and you can kind of like, okay, I'm not interested in this type of thing like State of Decay or anything. And you can just like, okay, when does that trailer end? All right, skip to the end. What's the next thing? Okay, skip to the end. There was a lot of good stuff coming out. And then obviously Steam Next Fest is coming up next week. And you'll actually get to play a lot of those for a limited time and get to actually try some of those. So that's going to be a lot of fun. S. Jared Matt says, I know it wasn't in this showcase, but it was happy to see the leaks were true and Civilization 7 is coming out. Yeah, that was in Summer Games Fest, and I will buy it and promptly never play it because I don't have 10 hours at one time. That's why I won't play it. But I'll definitely buy it. But yes, and I believe like somebody there's it's kind of interesting seeing like how much hate there is for like Civ 6 out there in the community because it's too cartoony. And now and they also didn't like some of the ways like spies worked and things like that. But Civ 6 was also the best-selling game in the series. So there's do we like money? Let's make it more like Civ 6 and not the ones that sold less that you may have liked or better. Also, the thing about Civilization 7 is day and date, it's coming out for PC and console, which means that they are going to be working from the beginning to make it something you can play with a controller, which is kind of weird for me to play an actual Civilization mainline game with a controller. I love Civilization Revolution because it was a version of Civ that was made for a controller, but it's going to be weird. I never did play Civ 6 on console, but you know, it's going to be weird if I try to play that on console, but that may actually kind of make things a little bit easier to manage. Because they've got to make it work on a controller with limited buttons instead of having every key on your computer do something different. Tireclaw says, South of Midnight is doing something weird with the frame rate. The cutscenes have lower frame rate, but the actual gameplay looks smooth. I don't know if you've noticed that happens in a lot of games. Hi-Fi Rush did that, actually. Where Hi-Fi Rush was in 30 frames per second in the cutscenes and would go to 60. That happens a lot when things are maybe pre-rendered or they've decided that they are going to render the cutscenes in a higher resolution than the gameplay. It is jarring. I agree with you. I'm not, it throws me off as well, but, a lot of games do that because they will turn on like all of the shaders and all of the reflections and all of the shadows and all of the everything for the cutscenes because it doesn't impact your play. And they can specifically say, here's where the camera is. They know everything where it is. And in gameplay, they turn a lot of that off so you can have a smooth gaming experience. Mike Deft says it's a style choice. And Tiger Claw says the new game Mixtape has characters with low frame rate, but the rest of the world is smooth. Like I said, that was also Hi-Fi Rush. If you played Hi-Fi Rush, whenever it would go into a cutscene, it was all, everybody was 30 frames, like maybe even less than 30 frames a second. It might have been like 24 frames a second, which is the standard motion picture. That's what movies in the theater are at, 24 frames a second. And it kind of felt like that, where they were trying to give it kind of that kind of feel. And I think it's maybe because they were hand drawing every frame of animation. So they're only going to make them draw 24 frames a second instead of 60. That's a style choice. And it also saves time when, especially in something animated like that, that looks like hand drawn animation, you know, that way they're only making 24 frames for every second. But when you're actually in the game, they actually animate in 60 frames a second because they don't have to worry about drawing every one of those frames. They actually just do the animation just like normal game development. All right. I put in a music break, but I didn't put anything in it. I'm not going to play it. I'll do it next time. It's a neat new Overclock remix. We're not going to do that. We're not going to take calls from the green room because, you know, it's E3 week and we didn't need to do that. Or not E3 week. But coming up next here on the Voice Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork is Orange Lounge Radio. Three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for much, much longer than I do, and we like to check in with them to see what's going on. Sacramento, are you there?
I am here, Bobby. How are you?
I am doing well. Zuckerberg told me something today.
Uh-oh.
Do you know where we were exactly 10 years ago tonight?
I was in LA because I got a video that came up. So I'm going to guess we were at E3.
We were at the Sony press conference.
Oh, that was, oh my gosh, that was 10 years ago tonight.
10 years ago tonight.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. I believe it. I believe it.
So the last time we went to a trade show, an industry trade show.
Yeah.
That was it.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't let us back.
10 years.
10 years. 2014 was the last time.
Look how they turned out.
Exactly. And now we're not going to Summer Games Fest either. But, you know.
No, but we'd have a better chance of going to that one if we. Yes. I couldn't even watch it live. It's at a terrible time.
Yeah. And there were a whole bunch. There were other reveals and stuff. Devolver Digital did a thing. And, you know, there was the Day of the Devs.
Day of the Dev,
And stuff. So, what have you been able to watch from the not E3?
I didn't watch Summer Game Fest. I didn't watch the Microsoft thing today. Yeah. So honestly, like you, I've been shopping around for the trailers that interest me, but otherwise, I've just been kind of catching up reading wise, which has actually been a nice way to do it. You know, it just cuts out a lot of the fluff. But yeah, there's definitely, especially at the Microsoft thing today, there was a lot of, you're really starting to see, you know, the result of them buying all those studios for better and for worse. You know, it still is all, it doesn't really make the memory of all the recent layoffs that they did go away. No. But, you know, you kind of see the vision, I suppose, and what they're trying to create. And there's an awful lot of it.
And it was one of the interesting things because it was pre-recorded. So I don't know if this was a choice. But when Phil Spencer was talking about the studios, they're like, oh, and here's Activision and Bethesda and Blizzard and Xbox Game Studios and blah, 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 and all this stuff. And I'm like, huh, that's interesting. And Matt Booty at least did mention the word King once. Because if I'm working at the King subsidiary, like I would want Xbox to mention me too, you know?
Yeah.
You know, because like everybody forgets that it was Activision Blizzard King. And even Xbox is kind of like they didn't flash King's graphic up, but Matt Booty did actually say, and our partners at King and, or, you know, our people at King and stuff like
Well, it's fine. I'm sure the Candy Crush loving audience is not exactly the same type that usually turns into these showcases, but I'm surprised sometimes.
I mean, you know, you never know. Candy Crush on Game Pass. Like, there you go.
It's already free, but maybe, I guess, gems and things like that. I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, you can. I mean, where's our Game Pass perk for more gems? There you go.
Super cookies.
Yeah.
Or whatever they have in that game. It's been years. I've tried it the same time everybody else did, but it's been years since I've tried that.
So, well, the main ones, Civilization VII.
Of course.
That's the main one of the main ones.
Of course.
Yeah, that's the main one that I was going to... That I figured, yeah, I know there's probably other things that you were excited for, but like Civ 7, like knowing Civ 7's coming.
I would say the best announcement from today is was them stealth dropping that Diablo 4 finally has pets, and they just put it into the game. So now you don't have to click to pick up the gold, and the pets do it for you. And yes, you can pet the pet.
Yeah.
So you get a doggy, and you can pet the dog. And if you want to pay $90, you can get a little kitty for the super edition of the expansion too.
I have not gone back into Diablo 4 yet, even though I'm like, once it goes on Game Pass, I'm gonna play it again. I haven't yet.
So. It's you know, definitely the latest season is probably the strongest it's ever been. You know what they did to loot, especially I think it's what they in particular how they changed the codex that really made loot better. And that is that you no longer have to think about, oh, I'm going to shard this legendary item to get the affix that I can use one time on a new piece of equipment. No, they just made it so that now once you shard something, you get that in your codex permanently at that strength level. And so the game becomes trying to find items that help up that strength level. So it's a little, and I know it kind of sounds weird, but trust me, it takes a lot of the like irritation out of the grinding of the end game stuff. You can build yourself an end game set very, very easily now. And the hunt just becomes making the numbers bigger as it usually is in Diablo.
Cool. Yeah, I played in the beta, so I'm assuming a lot's changed since then, and you know it wipes the character
quite a bit. Yeah,
I got to level 20 because I wanted the dog thing in the you know, I wanted that, and so I got that far, and then I didn't yet pick it up. Yeah. So, So what are you going to be talking about? Anything else going on Orange Lounge Radio other than the not E3 stuff?
Yes, obviously we have to give our own take on the not E3 stuff, but, you know, I don't know. I'm sorry I missed the start of your show. I don't know if you got into the big PSVR 2 news that's finally here about
last
the PC
week.
Adapter.
I did it like 2 weeks ago when they announced it.
But I thought they had more details or something that came out this week. I don't know. We have something that got the new details.
They announced the release. They had announced it and then given the release date, but they didn't actually give the details. It was the week you were gone.
There we go.
I talked a lot about it.
Like, something's new about that this week. Because I know I got a story with a headline or an article or a number this week. And I was like, I didn't think we had like the box art and everything.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Then how about, in old news, we could talk about a very old Atari 2600 cartridge that never came out, finally being preserved by the folks that go out of their way to preserve games. So that is some very exciting news. And a game I actually tried this week, a new game, apparently has a pretty weird sort of transaction in it that the developers are calling a bug, but yet they made the art to make the microtransaction. So that's a very strange bug. Did the AI create it itself? I don't know. We'll see.
Just like AI created the Neil Druckmann interview. That's my. Yes. I know you talked about that last week, but this is my theory, because that Neil Druckmann interview, I bet they fed his answers into AI and had the AI write the article with his quotes, and they changed his quotes.
Then they deserved everything they got. Right.
That's last week's news, but I wanted to throw that in there. All right.
Yeah, why not?
Orange Sounds Radio is up next. Thanks so much, Rob.
Thanks as always, Bobby.
So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Voice Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join us. Interact with the show directly, or you can be in our Discord server, vognetwork.com/discord, and talk about what you're playing or what you're excited about from either Summer Games Fest, from the Xbox Game Showcase, or even Steam Next Fest, which is about to be happening. I think it is coming up this week with a lot of demos of indie games that you definitely want to try out and maybe add to your wish list. You can also find me. I'm on social media as @BobbyBlackWolf@BobbyBlackWolf.com. So over on Blue Sky, so check me out there, and that's where you can also find some more information about where I'm going to be at Summer Games Done Quick, where you can hear me on Sunday and Tuesday in the beginning of the marathon. If you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet. But we would not be able to make this live show work without the help of the chatters who help us go above and beyond. So thank you so much. To the people who subscribe and send bits, because we had a hype train earlier. Thank you so much for that. You being here is really all we ask. We don't actually need this stuff, but it helps keep the lights on and kind of helps to keep things paying for themselves. We're not getting rich off of this, and we don't want to get rich off of this, because that comes with responsibility. Thank you so much, Dark Tetsuya, for resubscribing the Yay for 41 months plus a 26-month streak subbed to my favorite Sunday night shows. Thank you so much, Dark Tetsuya. Dark Tetsuya has been around for way longer than 41 months, but trust me, it's thank you so much for being here. Tireclaw resubscribed. Thank you so much. Pod Culture resubscribed, which kicked off a hype train. Esther and a Matt cheered 250 bits. Thank you so much. Sean 322 cheered 200 bits, saying whoop. And Dark Sakura resubscribed as well later on. I do actually want to say Pod Culture also gave out a community gift sub. So thank you so much to the community gift sub. That was in the other list. I've got like two lists going on here. And for whatever reason, it's not showing in the main stream elements list, the gift sub. But I saw the gift sub. Thank you so much for the gift sub there to help us with the hype train. So I'm going to now hit the button, and we're going to go to OLR. So like I said, enjoy some games. Enjoy some demos this coming week. And try to be good to each other. Here, be excellent to each other. It's Bill and Ted Day. See you next week. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Black Wolf Studios.